Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024, and you're listening to the Ask a Christian podcast. I'm your host, Nate. All right, today is National Haiku Poetry Day. So we go through some of that. We put the AIs against each other. We come up with some of our own funny topics. Oh, the winner of the day is the one about how Calvinism is false. What? I didn't say that. ChatGPT said that. Anyway, okay, then we talk to... What do we talk about? Man... It's been a while since we've dumped on the Catholics, and you know, I'm not trying to start fights, but just listen to a story from the mouths of babes, right? So someone in my kid's class is like talking, and they're like, I guess this little girl, not mine, went around and started asking everyone like if they're Christian or what the religion is, and they got to this Catholic girl, and she's like, I'm Catholic. I'm like, why don't you just say you're Christian? Which is a funny indication. But anyway, she says, I'm Catholic. Then they're like, oh, so what's the differences? And she goes on to explain how they worship Mary and the saints. And I'm like, wait, what? A fifth grader said that? Like, all, these Catholic apologists all day long fight tooth and nail how they don't worship Mary and the saints. But then you've got a little fifth grade girl who's like, yeah, we worship Mary and the saints. I'm like, whoa. Like, that's telling, right? So what are you guys teaching your kids? Anyway, and then... brief topic, yeah, Georgia Guidestones were demolished the rest of the way. Then we talk about braces, so if anyone has orthodontic needs, listen to this. Maybe they're good, maybe they're bad, I don't know. Then we talk about birth control. So anyone out there looking for methods of birth control and what is theologically sound, it's largely going to fall to your own conviction with, you know, I think some things that would outright be spoken to in the Bible. But we'll talk about all these topics and more. Gear up, it's a wild one. Take care. See you later.
Anyway, so you can just listen. So apparently, let's see, I made a list today. Today apparently is National Haiku Day. So let's be real Christian for a minute here. Okay, so National Haiku Day. I got this from a Christian site, so it's only fitting. Let's see. Where'd it go? When the news is bad and makes you sad or angry, turn to King Jesus. Okay. So that's from the mind of presumably humans. Now let's do a battle of the AI and see if that beats it. I mean, can't beat Christ as King, right? But okay, so dog, this is Gemini. Dog chases its tail. Squirrel mocks him from the tree. Tail wags anyway. Ugh, okay. This is from ChatGPT. Fluffy cat snoozing. Dreams of endless tuna feast. Alarm clock meows. Who wins, Gemini or ChatGPT?
Let's say ChatGPT.
Okay, it's just because we hate Google, right? Okay, Chris, so yesterday, this is funny. Oh, by the way, the Georgia Guidestones, does anyone see that? They finally just blew the things up, like they just demolished them, I guess they say, from the damage that, you know, happened last year or whenever someone, like, set off some explosives that damaged it. But there's a big bulldozer there. They just demolished the whole thing like a few days ago. So
weren't those put up by somebody like in the 1960s or something?
80s. But yeah. So yeah. So they're gone now. Anyways.
What was the wacky conspiracy around that? I forgot.
Well, I don't know if it's a conspiracy as much as, you know, they're just kind of like it was written in like a whole bunch of different languages, saying basically how the guide for humanity was to lower the Earth population to like 500 million people and all this other stuff. It was just like a big, like, mass extinction depopulation agenda. So, I mean, I don't know the conspiracy around it, other than you can say they want to depopulate the world. And they're like, well, wow, conspiracy theorists, why do you think that? And it's like, because it's written that they want to depopulate the world. So, that's the thing.
Democrats want to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if you call that a conspiracy, you just call it reporting the news. But okay, so Catholics don't worship Mary, right? Totally. They totally venerate her. They totally don't worship her. tell that to what? Okay, well, my child, my like sixth grader, comes home yesterday, and she was telling how it turns out kids apparently talk about religion a lot at school. Not mine, really. Like, they're just like, hey,
I was gonna say, maybe your kids and my kid.
Yeah, and I was trying to say it's not like us. It's not like we're sending them out, like, you know, to make disciples of their elementary school. No, but they're telling me, like, other kids, like, start this stuff. So maybe their parents are doing that. Anyways, but so yesterday, I guess there was a group of girls, all, like, fifth, sixth grader, like, mingling together. And they said these two girls just started running up to all the other girls saying, "Hey, are you Christian? Are you Christian? Are you Christian?" And I guess they got to mine, and mine's like, "Yeah." And then they like went and like asked a teacher, and the teacher's like, "Yeah." And everyone's kind of like, "Is this a trap?" Anyways, but they were asking like 10 or 12 little like school age girls, "Are you Christian? Are you Christian?" They all said yes. Until they got to this one girl who's like, first of all, whenever they said, "Are you Christian?" she replies with, "I'm Catholic." So way to separate yourself from the get-go.
Which is what most Catholics reply to that question.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Right. It gets better. And then, so she's like, my kid is like, "I was just listening. I was off to the side, like doing some other stuff." She's like, "I was just listening." They started asking her a lot of questions about it. And, oh, is that my child eavesdropping on me? It is. Come here, child. Child, come here. You want to talk? You want to tell them what happened? Okay, great. Then go eat your breakfast, brush your teeth, get dressed, and we'll leave soon. Okay, go. Anyways. She's like, they started asking her about questions and asking what Catholic means. And she's like, "Well, we believe in Jesus and we believe in God. And, you know, we worship Mary and the saints." I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, "She said that?" She's like, "Yeah, she said they worship Mary." I'm like, wow. So you could put all these like Catholic apologists, people in front of us you want who say, "We venerate Mary. We don't worship her. No, we don't worship the saints." But, you know, from the mouths of babes in fifth grade, it's her impression as a Catholic. She totally worships Mary and the saints. So, you know, that's the best counter apologetic we need. It's like, look, it doesn't matter what you guys say. This is what your kids are picking up. I'm done.
It's true. It's pretty funny.
Oh my gosh. And sad.
I love asking Catholics, "What's the difference between lotteria and dulia?"
I have no idea what either of those things are. What are both of those things?
Well, that's where they base all the Mary stuff on. So like, you know, dulia is just like, "Oh, we just, you know, we give honor to," and lotteria is, "Oh, we give worship to." But it comes from a poor understanding of the Greek from the 5th century from a monk who didn't read or couldn't do Greek or Hebrew himself. He only spoke Latin. And so he took these words in the Old Testament and made up this whole, like, apologetic about, like, the difference between latria and dulia. And, like, anybody who actually studies the languages knows that there's exactly the same thing. But, like, that's where Roman Catholics, like, they have this cope from the 5th century that they try to use from literally somebody who is illiterate.
Goodness. Hey, Random. Morning.
Morning.
How are you doing? Anything on your mind today?
Oh, not much. Just woke up. I was just going to say, when I was a Christian, or for some people when I thought I was, I found it really interesting delving into Catholicism and their belief system. And
why you're no longer a Christian?
No, that has nothing to do with it. But it was, I mean, I separated Catholicism from Christianity even at that point. Because it was, even for me who didn't like, who was just beginning delving, like, it was sketchy as all get up.
Bob, say it in chat, and if it's noteworthy, I'll bring it to the room. But repent and believe the gospel. Or just say you're like a godless atheist, and then we'll invite you. But to say, to say you're a Christian is a hard pill to swallow. What was I going to say?
I found out that some sects of Catholicism believe that Mary is a co-redemptress.
Yeah, I can see that. Chris would probably say all of them, but Chris, speaking of, okay, yeah, two little tidbits. Like, I guess I should really get out more, but I heard that apparently your, I guess the Calvinist Club, like some of the younger guys that we know, are what's the deal? Like, they're starting to go hard for Catholicism. You're trying to, like, keep them from jumping off the cliff. Is that a thing?
I mean, they're swimming around in the Tiber, and I'm trying to get them back on the shore.
Dang. Well, hey, maybe it's like when people go to Islam and convert to Islam or whatever, and after like a couple months, they're like, "Wait, you mean I have to like go to the bathroom in certain ways and use the bathroom certain ways and like all these other things. Like, you guys didn't tell me about this. And then they start to get kind of weirded out by it and like try to leave. And if they're in a country where no one can find them, I guess they can do that. But on the other hand of that, Progressing Pilgrim. Like, I was wondering about him the other day. I'm like, is that guy even around anymore? Turns out apparently he is. And someone, I guess, who knows them or knows of them or know, like saw something they did. Like, they're like, yeah, they're not Catholic anymore. It's like, and now they're like, not only not Catholic, but they're still a Christian, but very anti-Calvinist. I'm like, huh. I'm like, I wonder if he's going to come back to a Clubhouse. Anyway, did you hear that? Or do you know anything about that? It was just a little Clubhouse.
Yeah, it has everything to do with Slither Star. Remember that guy?
Got him out of Catholicism?
No. Slither Star pushed him and, like, doxed him and did all kinds of wacky things and pushed him into Catholicism by, like, just basically being evil. Like, being who Silver Star is, a demon-possessed evil person. And, yeah, and so Silver Star's hanging back around again. He's come back to Clubhouse, but basically all the Christians have him blocked.
Was he a Calvinist?
I mean, he claimed to be a Calvinist, but he's a Satan worshiper. I mean, he literally worships the Dark Lord.
I don't know him well enough to give any thoughts on that.
I mean, I could tell you stories. I mean, like, yeah, but yeah,
well,
the guy
maybe
is,
not here.
The guy is pure evil. Like, when I say evil, Nate, I'm not talking like, oh, I disagree with him. I'm talking like he does evil things to people.
Okay, so let's say with like drinking baby's blood, right? So probably not that, right? So we'll dial the scale. He probably hasn't murdered anyone,
right? I would not be surprised. So, if he slit the throats of babies and drank their blood.
Really?
Like,
would
I would not be
surprised. Like, he murdered like 10 people. There's dead bodies under the floor. You'd be like, okay, I'm a little shocked by that.
No, I would not be surprised in any way, shape, or form. That's
okay,
how evil
so
I think
basically
that guy is.
Be like leader of some government. Like that level of evil.
Yeah. Like he's, yeah. Like Silver Star is such a known quantity of evil. Like, to even speak with him or have anything to do with him, I don't talk to the people who talk to him, for instance.
Well,
if you
three times he'll show up.
He will show up and then all of his followers will show up and then you'll end up like with phone calls to your church and all that stuff that you didn't even give out the number of your church and his minions and him try to basically get you kicked out of your own church and all that stuff and everything and stuff. Yeah, that's happened to quite a number of people who have just talked to him.
Well, I mean, for the record, I mean, I guess if he showed up here, I'd be like, hey, how's it going? I mean, I have very few people blocked. Anyway, yeah, let's move on from that. Bob, gosh darn it, I was hoping you had something good to say, but if you want to talk about perhaps demon-possessed, I mean, I don't want to say that, but I mean, look at chat. Where it was a start.
Man.
You know, believing
Kevin G
Jesus
is down there.
God. Yeah, I see Kevin G. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to ask Kevin how it went with the atheists, with that dummy, like, trying to do pattern recognition. It was wild.
And also, Bob saying believing Jesus is God is worse than being a Muslim. So, Bob, that's the kind of stuff that keeps you from not being up here.
Bob, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
And this he knows. We left him with some sources for him to review. Hopefully they'll get out of the mess they're in. What is this, like new Muslims or Muslims who are considering not being Muslims? Or...
Thing of it is, Bob...
Long story short, was like in Andrew G's atheist room, there was a Muslim who was making all these wild claims, and Kevin and Yeshua had been in there, like, trying to talk to the guy. And this atheist pops up, and he's just like, you know, all the ancient myths, they have everything to do with Christianity, copying the ancient myths. And I'm just like, this is just so dumb. Can we just not talk to this idiot? Like, can we talk to the Muslim guy? Because he's actually, like, saying things that we can have a conversation about, and this guy's just trying to poison the well. And it was just really dumb. And I basically left a conversation with Yes, pattern recognition is a thing. I'm sure that the face on Mars is compelling evidence for aliens in your world, my friend.
I hate that argument where people would be like, you know, Christianity copies this, or there's older religions than Christianity, based on like dating. It's like, look, if Christians say the world is 6,000 years old, and you say you found some 10,000-year-old Chinese religion, then you're like, see, Christianity is older, or, you know, this is older than Christianity. Well, first of all, separate Christianity from like Judaism and, you know, same God. That's what we mean, right? So we're talking about the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Forget what your timestamp says. This goes back to the beginning of creation of matter. So, like, by that, there can be no other religion older than the creation of matter. The people to form those religions wouldn't exist. So that's the claim. It doesn't matter when some were down. If there is no Christianity invented until right now, and God started to pick a prophet right now and said, hey, write this down. These words are trustworthy and true. And you basically just start writing Genesis right now in 2024. That isn't that you could say, the 501c3 Christian religion started today. But the story of the God goes all the way back to the existence of matter. So there can be no material thing, including religion or the people to make religion, that start before the creation of matter to allow that. So that's the Christian religion. It goes all the way back to the beginning. So get all the religions that have a claim like that, which I have no idea. Does anyone have an idea like that? I mean, I guess you could say the Abrahamic religions, which, you know, Christianity is a progression through Judaism and Islam is a ripoff of that. But still, they would say that everything starts with that God. But does Hinduism even go back that far? Like, does Hinduism talk about the beginning of time? Like, that would probably be the only, like, one of the only other ones. But the point is, after all these, like, other religions and, you know, philosophies that they say is religion, is built religious to philosophy, they don't go back to the beginning of material origin. Anyway, that bugs me. Like, don't you know there's older religions? Smack!
Yeah, really dumb. Do you see IHOP KC is shutting down now?
What? Well, is that the whole thing or is that just one branch?
No, it's not the restaurant.
I know. Church. I mean, that's okay, what I mean. Okay. I meant the church. Man,
but
Andre.
You always say, I don't know anything. I've never heard of this. And I was like,
well, I know IHOP is a church. We've talked about it a lot. Come on, Andre the Goliath. You guys thought I wasn't like doing that on purpose. Like, give me some credit, guys. Give me some credit, Andre the Goliath. Andre the Giant. I know that.
That was pretty funny because you did have me going.
Sorry,
I was like,
wait a minute.
I had to
deal with something in the chat. I wasn't able to hear it, but I'll give you credit for it, even though I didn't hear it.
Thanks, appreciate that.
Andre the Goliath, it's good. It was good. That was like a top 10 moment.
So I have a short day. I have to go. My child is getting braces today. Yeah, that's fun.
Oh, he's racing.
What?
Racing? You're going racing?
Braces for teeth.
Oh, braces. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're going to have a miserable baby.
I'm wondering how much I have to be present. Like, there's this really nice Greek restaurant, like, right next door. Watch, she's probably hearing me and is going to, like, show up during a second.
I'm wondering if I can hold your child's hand while the painful dental work is being done. Goodness.
Hang on. Our braces, the orthodontist said there will be like barely mild discomfort. Are you saying braces are supposed to be painful? Because this guy doing it says there shouldn't be hardly any discomfort and she can go about her day like normal. Are you saying that's wrong or because you got braces in like the 1600s?
I mean, I never got braces, but I don't know. I mean, I would take the dentist word for it, but pasting a bunch of metal into your mouth, it's going to be pretty uncomfortable.
Okay, now before someone, I don't know, doxes me and tries to get me kicked out of my church, good luck, non-denominational. Oh, no overlord. I guess just the pastor. But so the guy says it'll take like 2 hours, like hour and a half to 2 hours. So I'm not just going to be like, here's the package, drop it at the door and run. It's like right next door. So I'm like, I'll sit there for a while, make sure everything's good, and be like, hey, you know, I need to step out for just a minute. And then go eat for like 20 minutes and probably bring her back something. Because I'm nice, Chris.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know. Cats in the Cradle.
But, now, Cats now, in the Cradle. The Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue, and the Man on the Moon. See, I know stuff, Chris. I know things.
I mean, every parent knows the ultimate parent parental guilt song.
You know, Ugly Kid Joe, I don't know any other song he's ever done, but his remake of that is great. It's the best. You know who the original singer of that song is, Chris?
Sorry, Nate. I don't mean to
mess interrupt
your day with the chat.
What's up?
So, Adam, do you know anything about the IHOP stuff?
Answer the question, Chris. Who sang that song originally?
Oh,
this is one Cat thing Stevens. I know that. Oh crap! Is that true?
Yeah, Cat Stevens, man.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Ricky Skaggs, the country guy, but so I guess he must have remade it then.
What song?
Oh, I wanted to be right about. I wanted to know something Chris didn't know. Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, Aaron Wilburn sang that too.
He's okay, so everyone's saying it.
So what's up, Chris?
Do you know anything about the IHOP thing going on? Not the pancake restaurant.
You're going to have to elaborate. I haven't been on this app in like 6 months.
This has nothing to do with Clubhouse. This is like a Pentecostal church called the International House of Prayer, headed up by Prophet Mike Bickle.
Yeah, I've heard of them. I don't know. No, I don't associate with them.
Okay, wait. So back up. No one's talking about the breakfast chain. Is this IHOP the whole thing or the specific like branch of IHOP, or is the whole church?
The whole thing is shut down. They're gone as of today.
Wow. And so what's the reason?
Because their pastor is a liar and a rapist.
What's the reason the news articles will say?
Because their pastor is a liar and a rapist? I mean, that's okay. Literally what the news articles say. I mean,
I know you so well, Chris. I'm just trying to get a fair thing here. Okay, so because one pastor is like this, and I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming there's like, what, 30, 40, maybe more little offshoots of this thing? So, or more than that, maybe? So you're saying because one pastor did this stuff.
He's the founder.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. So it's not like a Methodist thing where half their church went awry and the others are like, well, no, we're still going to call our church something else. Like, do you think all these IHOP churches are just closing doors locked, or they're going to like still be a church just not associated with IHOP? I wonder.
I don't know if they had a lot of branches. That I don't know. But like, I know the main one in Kansas City is like basically they're trying to avoid paying out in lawsuits. Because now there's like dozens and dozens of lawsuits because apparently he was just a predator for decades and decades. And so they're attempting to try to save the property and break it off. Okay. But basically, like another lawyer I was reading. Huh?
So nothing to do with God.
Oh, no, it has everything to do with God because like
this guy. Oh, about paying people, the legalese.
Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of that part, but like the idea that the entire thing is shutting down is kind of like wild because this is so like when you talk about main Pentecostal churches, like IHOP KC is in the top five. It was one of the biggest, it was one of the most influential. Mike Bickle has been held up for decades as one of the most accurate quote unquote modern day prophets.
Oh,
and
really?
So, oh yeah, for decades. Wow. Like he has been lauded as the number one charismatic prophet for decades.
Well, hey, you know, being raised in like different Pentecostal churches in different states, I will just say me and I just go out on a limb and say probably all of the congregations I was in have no idea who this dude was. I have heard of IHOP churches. Didn't know they were Pentecostal. I just kind of knew it was a church somewhere. So yeah, I would just say that maybe in Pentecostal circles, like, he's not as widely known.
The really, as you think. I mean, well, I guarantee your pastor knows who he is. But like the really interesting bit is that Justin Peters and Jim Osmond had a roundtable with Michael Brown and Sam Storms, and Sam Storms is a reformed charismatic, right? And so he is.
What does that mean?
That means that he teaches reformed theology, just like, you know, we do. But like he, and I'm including you in the we, but he also he also is a continuationist that believes in prophecy and tongues and like all this stuff, and believes that there's modern day prophets and, you know, all that. So he and Wayne Grudem, who's another very famous theologian, are what they're called, Calvinistic continuationists. And both Wayne Grudem and Sam Storms, and again, they're very educated. I mean, like, you know, Grudem wrote Systematic Theologies. Like, you know, like he's not a dummy. But they both lauded, as an example, Mike Bickle as the example. And they did that like 2 weeks before all of the news started coming out about how he had been, like, they reiterated all this stuff. It wasn't like they just said it one time. They've been saying it for 40 years.
Well, what's and, that thing in the Bible? It's like, I'm not going to do the verse justice, but you know, the part that's like, basically, if you exalt yourself, you're going to be humbled. Like, everyone that wants to be a cash up prophet should, I don't know, even if you think the gift of prophecy is still alive and well, before you call yourself, like, you know, prophet, maybe just think, I don't know, am I setting myself for a great humbling, or should I just be good with calling myself a Christ follower?
I mean,
what's that verse? You know that verse?
Mike Bickle's a Christian.
Well, regardless, there's still wisdom in, well, okay, yeah, but I mean, there, I think there's still wisdom in that saying.
Oh, for sure. But like,
what is that?
Hang on. Yeah, so Sam Storms just effectively just torched 50 years of ministry and just pissed it down the drain. And same thing with Michael Brown and all of these charismatics that are now like, oh, wait a minute, we were holding up a rapist as the main prophet of God in America. That's not great.
Good morning, Steph. I have a question for you. More of a challenge. So I'm not going to say the words because I don't want to abuse it. So if you're busy, I don't want to force
no,
you.
No, I'm but, here. Matthew 23:12 is the verse you were looking for. And I happen to know that because it was my kid's power verse this week in Sunday school.
Oh my gosh. See, the gift of, I don't want to say the gift of prophecy is, you know, being used here because it has nothing to do with it. But, you know, that's an interesting coincidence, right? So did IHOP, Chris, here's a better question. Did God make this guy do all these evils? And basically implode an entire international prophet church just so we could have this conversation where this verse that I was looking for was Steph's kid's power verse for this week. Or what would just say interesting coincidence?
Yes, that is all for our benefit today.
Okay, yeah, and there's also one in Luke, I guess. It says everyone who exalts himself. So it doesn't need to be a Christian. So it's Christian independent. It doesn't matter if they're Christian or not. It says everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I guess that last part you could say maybe would apply more to Christians, but no, that's religion neutral. But Steph, the challenge I had for you is today is International Haiku Day. I was wondering if you could put into a haiku, Jesus rode a dinosaur.
A very long time has passed since Christ rode. Shoot. The beasts.
We'll wait.
I'm just super glad it's not Limerick.
Just wrote the beasts, and yet we recall. That works. That was their haiku.
Wait, say it again. You cut off for a minute.
A long time. A very long time has passed since Christ rode the beasts. And yet we recall.
Hey, nice.
Thanks.
Tiffany, what's up? Do you have a haiku for the day?
Oh, no. I'll defer to Steph.
Do you want about chinchilla?
I was just going to say that. I was like, I need a chinchilla haiku that I can repeat to my wife.
Oh, you can't. Oh, that's how you can do it. Go get a chinchilla today. Get a couple of them. And say, hey, whenever you apologize, you can say, you can give her a sweet poem, a haiku, and then end it with something about chinchilla. and be like the chinchilla I got, except haiku style. And she'll think chinchilla means one. But
I
we
love
all
that
know.
You assume that I have to apologize every day, which is totally true.
Well, I wasn't, but this apology will be warranted because in the haiku that's nice and loving and sweet, it'll be like, and now look at your chinchilla or something like that. She'll be like, oh, well, hang on. So your wife is going to be like, I'm so mad that he did that without my blessing, but that was a really sweet poem and haiku he gave me. So, okay, fine. A chinchilla is fine. So she thinks a chinchilla is one, but we all know it can mean plural. So when you come in with like a farm of like 10 chinchilla, you're like, look, I got chinchilla. Okay, I'm done now.
Here's your haiku. I cannot live without the warm and fuzzy love of my chinchilla.
This is fantastic.
I'm trying to figure out what a haiku is.
Someone has a technical version. It's like three
it's
lines.
It's a Japanese poem structure that's three lines, five syllables first, seven syllables second, and five syllables again. And the theory is that kind of almost anything that you put into that structure will be beautiful.
Well, let's test
that.
Oh,
I'm sure I could destroy that myth.
Well, let's find out right now. All right. I wonder if ChatGPT would be better if I paid for the premium, or if that just gives me access to more updated stuff.
Oh, did ChatGPT give you
Yes, it gave me one about Bob the Heretic. Bob the Heretic, questioning beliefs profound, truth seeker untamed.
Ask it for another one.
I will. Here we go.
Yeah. Give it
Chris
a little
the Calvinist.
Ask it about Mean Chris.
All right. Here we go for Chris the Calvinist. Chris. Oh, gosh. Chris. Calvinist, bold, predestined path unfolds clear. Grace's sovereign hold.
Wow.
I like it. I like it. I'm going to write that in the front of my Bible.
Ask it to do Steph the Westland now.
Okay. It's currently working on that one for Calvinism being false.
Much better.
But okay. Calvin's doctrine fades. Truth's light shines. Free will unveiled. Grace unbound. Love's call. Wow.
Yes. Okay. Everyone write that down. ChatGPT is a Wesleyan.
I think it's more like probably Hindu.
Hindu? Do you worship the blue one? Okay, the last one. Steph, Wesleyan heart, Arminian grace, love's embrace, free will's dance, divine.
Wait, that was mine? What was the last one? I thought the last
one
was
I like that. It kind of has this connotation that she thinks she's divine. It's fantastic. Uh-huh. That's exactly what free will means.
Uh-huh. That one was for Calvinism being false. Is the last one.
Oh, okay. Well, the last one was my favorite one.
Okay, enough of that. I don't know what else we got.
Sorry, Nate. I have to do this.
Oh, you got one?
That's where your theology is wrong. Sorry, I had to do that.
Whose? ChatGPT's? Or Chris's?
No, Bob's theology. Sorry.
Oh. Well, Bob says, you let Steph on stage to keep me off. I'm happy with Steph taking the blame for the reason you're not up here. Steph, it's your fault.
Yeah, why are you so mean, Steph?
All right. Steph, do any of your kids have braces, or are they old enough to need braces?
I had braces at one time.
Give me a second.
Were they uncomfortable?
I prefer children for braces.
Totally, totally uncomfortable. And
oh, really?
It got to a point to where, like, because they're so easy to break. Like, if you don't stay on the diet that the orthodontist gives you, like, you can break braces like it's going out of style, or they could pop off. And like we popped so much and broke off so many that
you just follow
said,
the rules.
Because tacos are life, my friend.
You can't have a taco. Wait, okay. So I'm sure they're going to give us a list
Wait a minute. What kind of tacos? Are we talking like Mexican tacos? Or are we talking Tex-Mex tacos with hard shells?
Or, yeah, soft tacos. Does that count?
Well, soft tacos, like the braces that were in the back of my mouth that wrapped around the tooth that held everything together. When I ate a soft taco, it pulled one of those off. Also, gum pulled one of those off, unless you get the gum that doesn't stick to anything. But you know what? I still haven't found it. Even the gum that says it doesn't stick to anything still sticks.
So it got so bad, what? The doctor said, stop coming. You're done with braces?
No, he said if we showed up one more time, he was going to charge my parents $100 per brace he had to put on.
So is the diet, like, really restrictive, or just it's not several really big things?
It's several big things. Like, they don't want you eating, like, hard-shell tacos, no gum, stuff that, you know, matters to kids. They're not
allowed
to eat.
Do you have, like, regular chips? Because, I mean, taco shells, like, I mean,
it just depends. It when I was a kid, it just depends like the chip and the style and stuff like that. Like, I'm sure, like, the one chips that are like the puffs and stuff like that, where they're softer, they're okay. But if they're like real crunchy and hard, it could break or pop one of those braces.
Nate, is one of your girls getting braces?
Yep.
Oh, that sucks. But she'll be glad later.
Wants them. She's like, oh, you do.
Look
at
these $3,000 teeth, y'all. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, these are more than that. These are like the price of a used car.
Well, this was like 40 years ago. So, whenever that was. This was circa 2005.
Wait a minute. You're not even 40 years old. Did you have braces before you were even a zygote? Because that would be impressive.
That'd be, No, I had braces. Let me do the math. 15 years ago. There we go. 20 years ago. Ah! Yeah, 20 years ago I had braces.
Dippity, did you have braces?
I did not.
Some people have teeth. Could they get braces? Do they have little teeth? Like little chinchilla teeth? Or like fangs? I don't know.
They have snake fangs that have venom. It's impressive.
Yeah, but no, it's like the thing that would always get me, Adam, was like, I really loved that. Guys, I can't remember. Was it a Captain Crunch cereal? Yeah, with the crunch berries.
Oh, yeah, the crunch berries.
Yeah, and for some reason, that not only shreds the top of your mouth, but will also pop braces off like it's nothing.
I love Captain Crunch.
Yeah, listen. There's certain things that you just learn you can't eat. Like biting into an apple, no. Corn on the cob, no.
So you popped off a lot of braces, too? So is that a regular thing? Like, people always have to, like, go back to the dentist to have them fix popped off braces?
No, well, I only had mine for 2 years, so it was like... I did it a couple of times on cereal and then I was done. I didn't want to go back anymore because every time it pops off, the tooth will move back. Right, Adam? So then they put the brace back on and then it hurts like the devil because it has to pull the other tooth back out quicker. So you just kind of learn to not do that.
Like every time I would go, the dentist would like literally, like he'd have to put a brace on the tooth and then he'd have to rethread the wire and then he'd have to like yank the wire, you know, and stuff like that to pull the teeth back together because it was taking the gap that was in the middle of my two front teeth and pulling them together so that there wouldn't be a gap anymore so when I talked I didn't whistle.
I had the opposite. I had a W expander, so my teeth were crowded, so the W expander is literally a W of thick wire that they put on the top of your mouth to push your teeth apart from each other, and it's absolute torment. Like,
I've
absolute
seen those.
Torment.
Listen, so Nate, I'm going to make you this.
You're going to what?
Go ahead, Chris.
I'm going to make you an offer, Nate. You just drive that child over here to Orlando. I've got some epoxy and some wire and some, like, you know, metal. And I will give her braces for like $100.
And after you give my kid tetanus, then I can sue you and make a bank.
Probably. I'm just saying.
Deal. Thanks for the team, little one. Okay, we're gonna go on a trip. Just take one for the team.
Daddy's gonna get you some other braces.
So Nate, I will let you know. Depending on what style of braces they get, like if it was Steph's style or my style, they're gonna be very uncomfortable. Until they're out because like my style, okay, there was metal little brackets on each one of my teeth And then you had that
rubber
wire.
Bands, right?
Well, no, I didn't have to have the rubber bands because I only had the top done. I didn't have the bottoms done, which I don't know why, but I just had the tops done. So literally there was pieces of wire sticking out of the back of my mouth, like the back teeth.
Oh, and you get bloody sores in your mouth from this.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Rubbing and stuff. And they give you this stuff that's like it's – What was it? It was like paraffin wax, and it's supposed to help.
Yep.
It no help.
Because you're supposed to like push the wax onto the. They're basically like there are the ends of wires are poking outward, right? That's just the way they're designed, so that whatever. Mine had rubber, okay. So you could hook a rubber band. But yeah, they would cause open sores in your mouth, so they'd give you a little bit of wax to put on the end of the wire, but it just doesn't matter.
Is this child
and then the
listening
other thing
to
is,
this right now? Because you're probably going to traumatize this child, like, right
no,
now.
No, but I'm thinking I should let them and I should let them listen to the replay and then be like, oh, you know what? Braces aren't that big a deal. I can deal with a little tooth that's weird.
I mean, it's and then the other thing is every time they tighten them, you get migraines for about a week. And we're not talking, like, little headaches because they're moving bones in your skull, right? So it's like it causes light sensitivity. It's like your teeth can't touch each other. You have to eat liquids for 3 days every 6 weeks
what?
Before they do it. It's
yeah,
like
Nate,
it is barbaric.
Why are you torturing your children?
Because I guess I'm more of a Calvinist than I think I am.
Listen, Nate,
but
I
goodness,
will tell you
well,
this.
Well, the price you pay for beauty, right?
Yeah, the style of braces that I had. That the sheer amount of pain was from the doctor having to literally take pliers in the back of my mouth and pull these wires like down towards the back of my mouth and then snipping them off.
That's how they tighten them. Yeah.
So that's how they would tighten it. So like if they're getting that style of braces, be aware they're gonna the wire is gonna be poking them and they're going to be in a lot of pain in their mouth. So it might be a blessing in disguise because if they talk a lot, they may not be able to talk for a while.
Oh no,
I need to get my other kid braces in because she talks all the time. Well, I mean, I can't imagine this orthodontist would just like lie to my face. So I mean, maybe technology's changed since you dinosaurs have had braces.
Oh wow,
maybe.
Unlikely.
I mean, they have Invisalign. Wow. I don't know why anyone does metal braces anymore because Invisalign works just as well, and it has no metal.
So, I'm wondering one question. So, like, I thought about Invisalign, but I mean, those teeth are pretty severe. So, I wonder, like, do orthodontists also usually do Invisalign, or they just do braces? Because that would, I mean, if they did both, they could be like, oh, yeah, we'll do Invisalign. But if it's, like, orthodontists only do braces, and they're like, oh, you don't want Invisalign, you just want braces, because that's all I sell.
No, they do Invisalign, too. The problem with it, Taco, did you finally get thrown out of the other room? Listen, the problem with Invisalign.
I left there. It was nonsense at a certain point.
The problem with Invisalign is that you can
you were
take them out.
Nonsense.
So keep that in mind, Nate.
Wait, what?
Well, hold on, wait, guys,
pause. You can go to the other room in a second. Or talk about it. Hold on. Nate, the problem with Invisalign is you can pop them out. So you would have to make sure that your $8,000 investment was actually being used because she could just take them off.
But well, wait, my wife did Invisalign.
Isn't Invisalign meant to come out and go back in at certain times? Like, I thought
you're only
like
supposed to take them out for eating and then wear them for like 3 years otherwise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it took my wife forever, and she got headaches and stuff too.
Yeah, because it's still moving your teeth, but you just don't have the metal, so they're more comfortable. But then if you're in pain, you just pop them out, so your kid may not. Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess these were pretty above average case. So the guy's like, yeah, these really should have braces.
Yeah, but Nate, back when we got braces, like
I'm trying to get the taco.
Invisalign wasn't even invented yet, so you really can't say that because, like, we couldn't do the alternative. We didn't have that option.
No, he's saying his kid's orthodontist now is recommending traditional braces. We got it. We'll be praying for her. That sucks.
Well, thank you. What's up, Taco?
Braces should definitely be used for extreme cases, and I'm under the suspicion that sometimes they extend braces on the teenagers for longer than they really need them. For the money.
Why? Oh.
Yeah, for the money.
Like, apparently they think this is like a two-year thing, and then it's like done. like before, like we went a year ago and, or maybe more than a year ago for a consultation, and they recommended, because she was younger, to do like a stage one. And they're like, this is this amount of thousands of dollars. I'm like, yeah, we're just going to wait. And then, you know, the teeth didn't improve. So we went back and they're like, okay, well, yeah, you're past stage one. So yeah, we'll just basically do this one time thing. And I'm like, okay, great. So we can still get it fixed and skip whatever stage one was. Okay, who's got something besides braces?
I have a spicy, scandalous question for Ask a Christian.
Yes.
Okay, what do we think of... what do we think of birth control methods? My husband and I are debating right now about whether to get him snipped, and I want to know if this is, like, allowed in Christian circles or not.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say, you know, take one for the team, and why has it got to be the man that bites that bullet? Why can't it be the woman? So I'll just say that.
Because I've been on an IUD for a year and a half, and it gave me horrifically high blood pressure, and now I'm on medication for it, and it's horrible.
What? I'm talking about getting your tubes tied.
Oh, because that's an incredibly invasive surgery that takes, like, weeks to recover from.
So I realize that.
Go back to work the next day.
So I realize that, but I mean, don't you love your husband, Steph?
I do. So I told my OB that we preferred to have me do it, and the OB wouldn't do it until he had a consult. Isn't that wild?
Oh, wow. So have him get a consult and be like, okay, now she's doing it.
Well, that's what he's so doing literally right this minute.
For women than there are for men. He birthed the children. He can go get snipped.
Yeah, oh, right. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. You all make fair points. And I was thinking, like, you know, got to get my bros back. But then I thought, wait, it's not me, and he's in New York. So yeah, I support you. Have him get snipped.
What about just using timing with ovulation in conjunction with condoms, and use lube, and he could put lube on the inside of the
All right. That, okay. I regret asking much. This question. Thank
just
you.
Normal.
Just or normal. I'm just asking about the theology.
Okay, yeah. So
I'm asking about the theology of intervening in natural.
Chris just said abstinence. Okay, so for me, not I use abstinence. There you go. So I am not super well versed.
100% of the time.
I'm sure, unless you trip and fall on a banana peel, right? I think Chris, we've talked about this before. I've heard him talk before, and you know, life begins at conception. Therefore, you've had this conversation with Chris before, Seth. So
we talked about the copper IUD that allows fertilization but not implantation. So everyone agreed that birth control method is bad. Like something that would allow fertilization. But what about surgeries? Because then you're not, yeah.
So without being a scientist, I'm thinking, like, if there's a birth control that just prevents anything from getting fertilized or whatever, then that seems fine. No harm, no foul. There is no conception. Like, if there's something that blocks the things from interacting, then I can't possibly say there's a problem because there's no conception. I mean, but that being said, I don't know how it works, and I don't know if there is something that does that method. But if there is something that basically the two shall never meet, then
yeah, that's what
that
I
can't
have
be
now.
Bad.
Yeah.
Then oh, I don't see how that could be bad.
Nate, do you need to go to ninth grade
Maybe.
Health class?
My he does, son
yeah. This summer? I can't even. All right. Look, the traditional, like, the Christian tradition is going to be that no method of birth control is acceptable, okay? Because there is an inextricable. Just let me finish. But this is the tradition within the church for the last couple thousand years. Okay?
Which church? Catholic now, church? Keep going.
Just the historic Christian church. Now,
you're doing great.
Obviously, you know, I think as Protestants, we can, you know, look at certain things and say, look, a vasectomy is going to be the preferred method for birth control in this particular sense. But if you're asking theologically, the traditions are going to be against any kind of birth control. But I think that biblically you'd have a very difficult time instantiating that argument. Because I think
Thank you.
That
okay, Chris understood exactly what my question is.
Okay.
Thank you.
But wait, let me jump in here, because I mean, I don't think he called me ignorant, but going back to ninth grade health class, I don't know, man. Let me defend myself. Okay.
Come on, man.
I know how babies.
Online. All right. Be great. All right. We're going to do it together.
Yeah, Chris is teaching the class. Okay.
It's the ovulation piece he's missing. We'll forgive him.
I'm not missing anything. I'm saying in ninth grade, they teach how babies are made. What they don't teach is how birth control works. So, okay, the point is, okay, hang on. Imagine this. In my mind, I'm thinking you have some of, this is going to be bad. Okay, you have some of Chris's little swimmers, right? Then you've got woman decided to marry him. And you've got these eggs, and there's kind of, hey, Chris, hey, what's up? But instead, they're like, hey, let's hang out. And before they get to hang out and, you know, let's say shake hands, there is something from some birth control medication that, like, it's like a layer that comes down between the two, and it, like, wraps up the egg saying.
Hey, let me explain.
I will drop everyone. No, be silent, Satan. No. I'm going to finish explaining, and then if I'm still wrong, you can tell me. The point is, the sperm has to, like, get to the egg, right? The two have to interact. All I'm saying is if something stops that interaction, then there's no problem, right?
We understand what you're saying. Okay, let me ask
you. But you keep interrupting me to say, no, you're crazy.
This is, there's a reason we're laughing. Yeah, this is kind of funny. Okay, Nate, let me explain to you the methods of birth control that we have for options, okay, that anybody...
Stop right there. Okay, all I'm saying, I was putting forward a theory. So if you're about to tell me how I'm hilariously wrong because that's not how birth control works, fine. I was just saying if there's something like that, that prevents pregnancies. Can we agree?
I'm going to fast track this by telling you what the most common options are. Okay? So you have barrier methods that do exactly what you're describing, like a condom, right? Never the two shall meet. Okay, so that's one.
So and how was I, like, ridiculously wrong?
You're not, because, all right, so then other options are hormonal. So that's going to be something like the birth control pill or an IUD. So that, what that is doing is it's on the woman and she doesn't ovulate. Okay, so never the two shall meet. All right. Well, there are certain IUDs like the copper IUD that are non-hormonal that allows fertilization because the woman still ovulates. It just makes the implantation impossible, blah, blah, blah. So we're leaving the copper IUD out because that's bad. That's very bad, in my opinion. Okay, then the third option is surgery. Okay, so one is a barrier, never the two shall meet. Two is hormonal, no ovulation, so never the two shall meet. Three is somebody gets snipped. So either the egg stops being part of it or the sperm stops being part of it. Never the two shall meet. So those are... That's like, yes, those are the options. I'm asking, my husband's hesitation here is not about actually getting a procedure done. It's about, like, he feels like intervening in reproductive ability on a physical and permanent level is playing God. And so it's kind of skeeving him out.
Hang on, Lou. I've got to go back because the maniacal cackles from both of you monsters. You jackals, like, what was the thing, right? So it's exactly the way I presented it, right? So just like Steph said,
you presented it like a little kid. It was very cute.
You presented it as if, like, the sperm are, like, hanging out and they see the egg and they're waving at.
Oh, okay. Stop.
Lawn chairs having ears.
Okay, great. So I tried to be simple, apparently too simple, but it's exactly what Steph said. So I'm telling you, theology behind it for me. For my personal convictions, if there's one of the birth control methods, like I said, that everyone was like hyenas on, where the two shall never meet, I feel at peace with that method. However, if it's a birth control method where the egg gets fertilized and, like, you know, every week there's, like, some sort of, like, hormonal injection or something, and it's like if there's anything in there fertilized or not, we're clearing that thing out. I would feel very uncomfortable with that because that would have been the egg could have already been fertilized and, you know, contraception has taken place. And that would be very bad, in my humble opinion. So, to answer the question, turns out Nate knows how crap works, even if I present it in this comical way. Steph, that's my theological answer. That's my conviction. No, I don't see it as playing God, because you can just as easily, like Taco started to say about timing. I think he was talking about timing of the month. But, I know that guys are like, well, hey, you know, when you feel like things are about to happen, you can, I'm trying to be graphic, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can get out of there. Wait, stop, 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 st Okay. I'm not, and then people like Chris are going to be like, don't you know the withdrawal method? There's still stuff that gets out if you're 15. So presumably you're a guy that has some sort of control and sense of his own body. So the withdrawal method, whenever you're like, okay, this is about to happen and I don't know, maybe 30 seconds, instead of waiting until you're like, oh crap, oops. I mean, you know, things are about to happen. So at that moment, go a little on the safe side, right? So I did that with my wife. We have never had a kid we didn't want to have. And it's been great. That said, if she gets pregnant tomorrow, I'll have some soul
egg on your face because you're using a birth control method that only is like 50% effective.
And then, hey, how many kids do you have again?
He's only got two
that we tried for. The two that we tried for.
Yeah, the two.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, wait. This goes back to the thing we were talking about yesterday with the having control. Like where our CEO was saying, it's statistically, you know, safer to fly. And I'm like, look, I would rather, even if it's statistically more dangerous to drive a car, I would rather take that statistical chance because I want the control over my own body to determine my determine my destiny. Even if I can't control other drivers, maybe if I see someone skip the road and head right for me, I still have control that I can try to evade, I can try to brake, and can't get out of the way. So it's like, well, look, if I can have let some like other birth control form try to like intervene and do my job for me, or lack of job, I would still rather take that chance and me be in control of it. I don't know. That's just me. So if Chris, it's like 0% effective, and that's why he has like, you know, four kids or whatever. You know, that's Chris. So I didn't mean to make fun of your infertility.
Yeah. No, it's actually like a huge regret that we have. Like we should have, one of the things that I tell young couples, like at our church, cause we have a bunch of 20 somethings getting married, like, and 19 somethings like getting married. And I think it's awesome. So like people are all like, oh, you know, you're too young to get married. No, it's not true.
I think my grandparents got married at like 14 and 16.
Yeah. I mean, like that's the way it's been throughout human history until the feminazis took over. Anyway, so like, no, that like I encourage young couples to get married and start having kids almost right away, because you know,
short term pain for long term gain.
That's right. And so yeah, it's like, oh, we don't have any money, or we're living in an apartment. It's just like, yeah, just get over it. Just have the kids. You'll figure it out. And
well, my thought was, yeah, like when my friend, he's not the most wealthy guy on earth. But when he was with his wife talking about baby and stuff, like, I don't know how we can afford this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, man, I may have had a different answer a while ago, but when you have people like jumping in our border and having like 13 babies and like, you know, getting all kinds of government assistance, I'm like, look, people are already doing it. You're never going to like game the system that bad. So you may as well just have kids and, you know, do what you need to do. Like, it's not like you're the one and only person abusing the system. Like, people who the system was not even created for are abusing it and gaming it. So don't let lack of money or savings be a reason you don't have kids. I mean, I get that's not the most responsible answer, but it's like, look, the system was created for citizens. You have non-citizens like getting what, like $14 billion from like, or $9 billion from New York City alone every single year for this crap. And they're like living more extravagant lives than probably most of the people in this chat room. So I'm like, yeah, don't let, you know, your determination on kids be based on that, because there's going to be existence. So, you know, may as well go to someone who actually is a citizen. Anyway. Okay. So Steph, to recap, yeah, that's my conviction, you know, Romans 14 all day, whatever your husband thinks. But for me, that would be my advice and my conviction. And if he thinks, oh, okay, that seems fair. Or if he doesn't, then, you know, follow your conscience as led by God. But no, I don't think the birth control forms where the two shall never meet or withdrawing or anything like that. I have plenty of peace about that. That being said, we're not using any of that stuff.
Can we please but if withdraw we were to, from this conversation?
Yes. We've got 12 minutes for something else. Taco, do you have anything
funny.
Else?
That was funny, Chris. That was a good one. I caught the fun. Whatchamacallit.
Don't encourage him. Well, what's up?
So I was thinking about a Bible verse. You know, Christ died for the church, so the husband should die for the wife. I think these birth control methods, like what she's talking about, they're really bad for girls, like really bad, and they do have health implications. So I'm saying, hey, you know, What's that?
I said thank you. I like where this is going.
No, I think I'd rather go that way because, you know, I love my wife, and it's like I never want something to happen to her because, you know.
Oh,
so
wait, there you go.
I'd rather do this thing.
Well, Steph,
that's a great point because his biblical defense is that the husband lays down his life for his wife the way Christ laid down his life. Okay, that's exactly the kind of thing I was looking for because I am feeling kind of guilty, but he doesn't want me to have the surgery either. That's what I mean. Like, the surgical method in general is freaking him out.
Well, two things. No one's laying anyone's life down. None of you are dying. Secondly, if he feels like bad about playing God, then just go all natural. Like, I don't know. Use a condom or just withdraw, and that's it. Like, there, if something happens to get through, or if something happens to happen, well, then he's not playing God, and, you know, welcome a smiling little one. So, and like, you know, with a 99% certainty, well, I mean, I don't know the guy, but with probably a large certainty, better than average certainty, nothing's gonna happen. So you both get what you want, probably, and he's not playing God.
Thing is that we can't have any more kids because now after my last pregnancy, it's like high risk. So we have to figure out something to do that's pretty fail.
Sounds like you're playing God.
Okay, wait, are you guys talking about a possible vasectomy?
Well, yes, Styx.
Yeah, I guess I played God because I did it, you know what I mean? For the same reason.
Okay, if Lou was able to do this and justify it and is still a good Christian, that's the kind of reassurance I'm looking for.
Not the reassurance by your consciousness is led by God, or by your conscience is led by God.
No, I want to hear of other good Christian men who are like, yeah, this isn't a terrible thing to do. That's what I want.
Well, no, I don't think it's a terrible thing to do. I mean, I haven't done it, and I have no
justification for her sinful ways.
Wait, is she sinning? Tell us how she's sinning. But no, Steph, I haven't done it. I'm not going to do it, but I don't have a problem with it. I don't think it's like a sin issue. Unless your conscience conscience convicts you and you do it anyway, then that's the sin. So no matter what we say, I mean, you know, if you or you know, I guess the hubby or whoever's doing whatever, are just grievously convicted and you do it anyway, well, congratulations, you still sinned.
What I'm hearing is that it's dangerous for her to have kids. She needs to figure this out. One of them got to take one for the team. I say the husband do it.
Or like Chris said, abstinence, right? Just there you go.
Yeah, that would be both of us taking one for the team. So that's that doesn't
matter. God's team.
Oh my gosh.
How are you going to tell two married people to be abstinent? That is crazy.
Well, I'm not doing it without laughing.
He's got to get, like, I don't know. I can't even think of a thing that would make him less attractive. That might work. Maybe we'll just.
just think Hemorrhoids. Of, like, your grandpa Hemorrhoids. Or something like that. And you'll be all right.
I don't know. We want to do the right thing. I think he's feeling convicted, but then he's feeling more nervous about something bad happening to me than he is feeling convicted, if that makes sense. And that's making me nervous.
Oh yeah. That would be my concern. I would not want nothing happening to my wife. So.
Wow. He's smooshing it up, huh?
I love it. Lou is my new favorite. Men, take notes.
In case she sees the replay, like, honey, check out what we do in Ask a Christian. Oh, I just happened to get this clip where I'm saying amazing things about you.
But listen, we're not talking about buying flowers and roses. We're talking about avoiding death by stroke post-childbirth. Like, this is, you know, it's a very unpleasant way to die. And then he'd be left with four kids, which just sounds horrific. Like, all around, it's just not a good thing.
Well, no, we don't exactly. want you to die. I need you here to keep us company every day of the week. But, I mean, you know, not like we're being selfish, but, you know, you can't die. But
notice that Nate's want for Steph to live is not because of his care for Steph. It's because of his comfort with Steph being around. Has
I
nothing
know.
To do with Steph.
It was a joke. Like,
I'm
I'll
mean.
Take it.
Jeez. Like, are people, man, do people not get my humor? Maybe it's not humor. Maybe it's just bad.
Humor, but it's just hilarious to hear it.
I care about you. I care about each and every one of you deeply. Well,
except for those that he don't care.
Kevin and Adam, you both have kids, right?
Yes.
Kevin, you've got kids?
I do.
So, okay, without bearing too much, I mean, don't answer if you're not comfortable, but what was your solution to this?
To what exactly? Kids?
To not having any more kids when you decided you were done.
Oh, I haven't seen my wife since our last child was born.
Oh, okay, perfect.
No, I'm playing.
All right. That's what Chris said.
No, I got we decided to go for the surgery. Now it's up to you to guess who got it. Yeah, that's flip a coin. Find out.
Flip a coin? Is that what you did?
No, so we had the opportunity to do it with her. Our last child was by C-section, right? So the doctor,
that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. But what the doctor asked, the doctor asked, he says, well, do you want to go ahead and do that now? And we didn't know. We were like, well, what are the risks and this and the other and everything else? And they're like, well, we can get it done while we're in there. And we haven't decided. So she had the C-section, you know, months go by, and I actually went forward with it.
Oh, because you guys said no during the surgery.
Yeah. Oh, I went, okay, yeah. So the whole thing is that this was something that my old manager told me. He says, I did all the research and everything about, like, oh, would it do this to it? You know, the fear. Nah, I could say with full on proof. Now, it don't affect the thing. I'm just going to put it like that. It don't affect the thing. That's good. Now, here's the thing, though. So here's how. So after that, I spoke with my manager. We was at the lunch, and sometimes we just talk about different things. And he goes, oh, so, you know, we talked about that. He said, yeah, I got it done. I said, well, how did that go? And then he told me everything about it. And then he goes, this is the way I think about it. He says, your wife goes through child one. She gives birth. She goes through everything. She it's a lot of pain and everything else. She goes through, like, you know, gaining weight, all this stuff, the stress, everything else, right? She worries about the baby. She goes through child two, same thing. Child three, same thing. She says, you doing this is you doing your part, right? She's been through all of that, so you can do your part. I said, okay, that's a good way to think about it.
I don't know. Why is be submissive to your husband? What?
Yeah, so I just went ahead and did it. And the thing about it is that it's reversible, too, you know? So
right.
I
mean, yes.
If you want to just, you know, reconnect the HDMI cable, you can. But, you can, but I mean, that's just, you know, so I said, okay, cool. I said, and if we ever decide, we have that option where it's like, you want to go back and reverse it? Like, well, why are you baby hungry and stuff like that? And, you know, so that's why we have a dog now.
Perfect. Yes. I mean, you know, I've always wanted to do, it's kind of like, well, if we want to in the future, we can go the adoption route, which there are a bunch of families in my church who have, and I know it's not easy, but it's like, boy, I don't feel like I would regret this even if we do want more children. But yeah, thank you for that, Kevin. I appreciate that.
And well, on that, that and yeah, on top of that, you want to live.
And I want to live.
Yes, we all want Steph to live. So, Pastor Mark, welcome. You joined just in time. You dodged a bullet the same way, just like Steph is trying to. Maybe not the same way.
No, Pastor Mark has done premarital counseling. I'm sure he's talked about this.
No, I'm saying he dodged a bullet because you're trying to dodge a different kind of bullet. So it's not the same kind of bullet.
Oh, get wow. It?
Anyway, but the point is I have to run probably for the better of everyone. But off to the braces doctor. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Hopefully, unless this is like canceled and closed forever. And it's like, ask a what? It's gone. See you guys later.
Don't do that.
I'm not doing it.